Hey guys, so owing to like a pretty bad earache going on here, and wearing headphones for an hour plus is kind of out of the question. So me and David are going to push back our Watergate series at least for a couple days here, so I can get this thing back under control. But figured to go back in, find some of the stuff that we've done over the past couple years that maybe you hadn't heard, and this is one of mine and Todd's earlier Desert Island shows from May of 2021 when we were just starting to come back out from COVID, maybe finding the real world again somewhat. But this one's all about one-hit wonders, and yeah, hope you enjoy it.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, guys, see, I wasn't lying when I said we're coming right back here with another Desert Islands. This week, me and Todd are going to take a look at, we're going to go back, do some more music, and we're going to take a look at our favorite one-hit wonders of all time. Of course, there's way too many to do, so we're going to go through a little montage here at the beginning before we get to the real fun stuff.
Keep wearing your grease lips. Everybody was coming. Hands to yourself.
Welcome back to edition three of Shane and Todd's Desert Islands, and this time we're going to be taking on, we're going back to music, as you heard there at the intro. We're going back to one-hit wonders.
We got a nice big list that I'm sure both of us will think one another is completely wrong about. And I can already, Todd, I'm lying in wait on one of yours already.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait. And now the mind is racing as to which one it
exactly.
is.
Yeah, exactly. Which one is it? I mean, y'all wonder. You got some defining problems with these a lot of times. You know, you look at what the Grateful Dead. I think mm-hmm. Touch of Grey is technically their only hit wonder.
Sure.
You know,
and have they done anything since? I think not.
God. Simple Minds, of course. Only really known for Don't You Forget About Me, but obviously with a couple more.
You know, because like there's they had the entire like follow up album with the Sanctify Yourself, and like there was so much radio play from other Simple Mind songs. And if I was going to pick like one of their catalog to actually be sort of like the one hit wonder, it would be Love Song, which is back in, like an 80s staple.
Yeah.
Prior to and this, you actually raise a really really good point. It's very hard to peg out very specific one-hit wonders, because a one-hit wonder to one person is like, what the fuck are you talking about? These guys are great. Like, everyone can go Devo, Whip It, to which I'd say, fuck you very much. Yep. They have a ton of catalog out there, which I find quite...
Lou Reed would be one of that.
Lou Reed, yeah. You got to put it in the original wrapper. I assume that's the song you're going for. But yeah, so like there's a whole bunch of... And actually, I before we get into this, there's a whole bunch of artists. Like when I was looking up, going, who am I missing? So I kind of like did some researching. One of the songs was Hobo Humpin' Slobo Babe by Whale, which I agree is a one hit wonder. But I own that album and it's great. Like I just love that. Same thing with Stereo MC's Connected. That entire album is really good. Mighty Mighty Boss Stones, the impression that I get. I love the Boss Stones. In fact, I would say on that album, that's the worst song. Like it's
I think that was mentioned by one of the listeners here. So.
Yes. Yeah. And one that was actually on my wedding playlist and I did not do it was the Caesars Jerk It Out, which is a complete, it's a nice little Hammond organy, totally like early 2000s throwback to 60s kind of hip wave stuff. It's kind of psychedelic, but it's also very kind of anchored in 2000 sensibility.
I think it's incredibly hard. Almost every single one of these I know on my list, and you know, I'm quite certain on yours, I didn't double check all of them. I mean, almost all these bands, because you have one that cracks the top five, mm-hmm. you come back later with something sniffing around.
Yes.
There aren't a lot of bands like the Capitals with Cool Jerk was in the intro montage there. Never did anything else. What was it? Reunion that did Life as a Rock, but the radio rolled me. Never did anything else. Steam, of course, a band completely made up to do Hey, Nah, Nah, Kiss Him Goodbye.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's not a lot of those.
Think of Sugar Ray, those poor fellas.
Yeah, because like they have an actual career, but
they
didn't allegedly.
Yeah. Here's the thing: they didn't want it. They did their one song. Like their business plan was make one good song, take the money, and run. And then they followed it up with another song, and it's like, and then they were like in the green room going, "Fuck, I guess we're a band now." And we gotta go. So,
see, you gotta be smart. You gotta pull a Billy Crystal, right? You record "You Look Marvelous," and then just get the fuck out of the music industry altogether.
Yeah. Go make a movie that is so inside baseball and comedy, no one likes it, and even comics hate it.
So, I was a loose guideline, but you know, I think we both did a pretty good job of trying to stick to I don't know what you would call it, like the underlying, I don't fucking know what words I'm trying to use this morning. But, you know, the idea of what a one-hit wonder should be. So I guess with that, fuck it, let's just get going since we already took 10 minutes to do the intro. And Todd, you can run it away. Let's go.
Okay, I'm going to start with this one. As soon as I thought One Hit Wonders, it's always good to start with a cover version. I only know this band because of this song. I know nothing else from them. I've never heard from them since. So here they are, Age of Chance with Kiss. Chance. First of all, I'm a huge fan. This is like when I think of like what's my favorite Prince song, this is up there.
Kiss is my favorite Prince song.
It's right, because it's just when you watch the video, it was one of the things, like when I was on vacation with my parents at one point, it was, you know, in the 80s obviously, and our hotel room had MTV and I had never seen it before. So I was glued to that. I was like, go out and enjoy the sunshine. Go shut up. There's a Simple Minds video. So they would play this song. They were playing the original Prince's version of Kiss video. So that kind of got grafted to my soul in Hoops of Steel. Mm-hmm. And even the covers, like Tom Jones's cover of this song, is pretty fun. And it's pretty on point. And I hit this kind of hit me in the numbers of kind of my 80s age and angst, that I just like really kind of crunchy deconstructed guitar sounds. And this was one of them. And it just kind of like, yeah, you know what? I think this qualifies as a one hit wonder. Age of Chance never did anything else after this, as far as I can tell. They're from Leeds. So that scratches my wedding present, New Fast on Mac Daffodils itch. And yeah. It's fun. It's a fun version. You know, they give themselves their own little wink in the first line of the song. So yeah, they know what they're doing. It's fun.
Yeah, I this is one I had to go look at, because I remembered they had a song over here. that made in the, like, I don't know if it was like the dance charts or something. It was something that I'd heard before. It was like Don't Get Mad, I think. But they also did a cover of Disco Inferno on the same album, which you really don't need to go listen to.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of, I think they actually recorded the Kiss while Prince's Kiss was still in the charts, but it didn't come out for a number of years. So
no, it was, I found it in the reissue of 97.
And
I think made in like 86 or 87 was when it was re-released, but then 86 was kind of when it was first thought of.
Yeah. You know, it'd be a really good idea is if see this guy Prince.
Mm-hmm.
What if we just covered his shit?
Right. Because we know it's good.
You know, that is one of the hallmarks of a lot of, I guess, the truer one-hit wonder people are the ones that just do a cover. And then they're like, shit, we got to fucking write our own music. God damn it. No, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
God. All right, first one for me. I'm going way back. You guys are going to notice a trend here pretty quick. I'm sure Todd did scroll through my list.
I found it very hard not to leave the 80s. And
I found it very hard
Shane,
to leave
Shane
the
went,
60s.
Who's dead?
See, I grew up, so here around Chicago, we had like John Records Landecker and all these great old DJs that were hangovers from the, you know, like American Bandstand era. So all we ever listened to growing up was the oldies station, right? And of course, that era of music has a shit ton of people who put out 145 on their cousin's label that CBS randomly picked up and then turned into a single. So the first one I'm going with is the Maurice Williams in the Zodiac's classic Stay.
Just a little bit longer. Please, 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 please tell them who you're going to. Now all your daddy don't mind and your mommy don't mind if we have another dance. Yeah, just a one more.
Wrote this song when he was 15, which I think has something to do with the fact that it's only a minute and 36 seconds long. It is the shortest track to ever chart in the Billboard Top 40. It's you couldn't pick a more one hit wonder single in if you ever fucking tried. But no, he wrote this like 7 years before it came out. He was trying to. You know, he had a bird over to his house and trying to convince her to stay just a little bit longer. So he's like, yeah, you know, the words just came to me. It's like, yeah, you just wrote down what you were saying to her. And then you repeated it once. And then that was pretty much it. That's it. I mean, it has been covered. I don't even know how many fucking times. This song's been everywhere. And it's one of those, it gets picked up in tons of movies. I think the Four Seasons did it. Jackson Brown did it. Sidney Lauper did it. Like, It's been beat to the ground ever since. And sadly, of course, Jackson Browne had to turn it into like a 5-minute song.
Right.
Because, yeah, you know, a minute 36 obviously wasn't enough for him. So.
Right.
But I just really defined that era. There's more doo-wop songs, and well, I'll be getting to at least one more of them.
Yeah.
I mean, for 96 seconds of music, you know, that's doing something that's still staying around all these years later.
So you definitely took a different departure than I would in Chicago, because yes, it is the sound of some. It is the birthplace of a lot of great kind of root style music that a lot of future genres needed to tip a hat to. But you also have the Chicago house scene, which I would have been in like white on rice. And this podcast would not be happening because I'd be under a bridge somewhere tweaking. That is how I would lose myself. So.
Well, I will say, this one actually, this is our first one to make it to number one,
right?
We'll say, and then it was immediately bumped off by Elvis's "Are You Lonesome Tonight." So it held on to that spot for 1 week, and then Elvis came along and took something from black people like he did his whole fucking career. So there we go, Maurice Williams with "Stay," Todd.
Right.
Take it.
I'm going to go with Sherry Keene, and a lot of people going, who's Sherry Keene? Including Canadians. this song, I'll tell you about it right now, but after you hear it. Here it is, "I Want You Back" by Sherry Keene.
I'm not afraid to die.
Now, just some details about this. It wasn't even outrageously popular when it came out. Like, the only country that it it charted in was Canada, and it hit number 19.
I think you seem to have missed the hit part of what we were doing. Honestly, when you put this in, I thought you had another fucking cover. I thought somebody had covered the
text. No. No. And that's the Hoodoo Gurus you're thinking of. I want you back. No. It is this. And she was known. Like, she was known. And I think the reason that it didn't chart higher in Canada is that there was just a whole bunch of other stuff on top of it. This was kind of like this song was buoyed by something we have in Canada called CanCon, which is the promotion of Canadian musical artists on Canadian airwaves. And so there's a percentage there. A lot of artists in the 80s and early 90s got buoyed by this legislature that stated that an X amount of musical content on the airwaves needed to be Canadian content. So she was one of these people. Mm-hmm. And it's not like she doesn't have like a big tenure, because one of her original bands that she started out in was called the Sharks, which had two founding members in it, a Blue Rodeo.
Okay.
Which is by far and away a much larger Canadian outfit. Yeah. One of the guys that was in there, Cleve Anderson, the drummer of the Sharks, was in this is a resume. Sherry Keen, the solo artist, he was the drummer for her, the drummer for the Forgotten Rebels, fantastic Canadian punk band, the Vile Tones, another Canadian punk band, the Battered Wives, not a great name, and Blue Rodeo. But Sherry Keen went on. She also had a country hit, called Diamonds and Pearls. It came out in 88. But this was kind of like her kind of dance intro and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, it was just one of those songs that always kind of stuck with me. And whenever it came on the radio, it was like, yeah, let's turn that up. So it was getting like a ton of airplay. It was great. So there we go.
Nope. Never heard this song before.
I knew there was going to be these things where you go, only in Canada, huh?
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess. Yeah, I do love that there's a so I was looking this one up last night, trying to figure this one out. There's a footnote on her Wikipedia page. I don't know if you caught this one, but Sherry Keen left the music industry and is currently a tour guide at the McCulloch Heritage Center in Pictou, Nova Scotia.
That's right.
So, I mean, she's she made it.
Know this about a lot of retired Canadian artists.
They work at cultural centers.
They work at cultural centers, or you might recognize their voice coming at you through a Tim Hortons takeout speaker.
Are they changing your tires at some place?
Yeah, exactly. I think that was the basis from Bachman Turner Overdrive. Yes,
Come on, that's the remnants of the Guess Who, damn it. Good Lord. Oh, man. Let's go ahead. We'll fire up one of y'all's. John Roberts, good old listener here, and good music man also. He actually fired through his top 5 years. So he's got the Shot by Both Sides magazine. Of course, 99 Red Balloons with Nina. Norman Greenbaum's Fear in the Sky. Turning Japanese.
Oh, yeah. By the Vapors.
Yes. And The Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
Nice. Fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like this. I like the good eclectic mix. Whereas with me, I'm just going to keep doing songs from the 60s. Okay. Let's get the big one out of the way for me. Coming up next, this song, I want to say, it made it to fourth in the U.S. Billboard. So, in a chart that people have actually heard of, as opposed to the Canadian alt country singles chart. God,
I like what I like.
And I think a lot of people might, our listeners might remember the Bay City Rollers covering this. In the early 70s, I think it reached the top 10 in the UK over there. But next up for me is Keep On Dancing by the Gentries.
I keep on dancing, boy. Don't you want to turn the jerk right now? Turn the shake it, baby. Come on.
the Gentrys were quite a substantial group. It was a 7-member group. Maybe most famously known for Jimmy Hart, as in the Mouth of the South from WWF, Jimmy Hart being one of the vocalists. Although not the vocalist on this track. And also my mom's cousin being the keyboardist, which I didn't meet Larry for a long time. It turned out, you know, but my mom's side of the family being from the South wasn't too keen on the kind of person that wanted to play keyboards in a pop band and maybe dress a little bit too womanly, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry was not at a lot of family functions growing up, but I don't know. My mom always stayed in touch with him. So, but Keep on Dancing, of course, much like Stay before this one, short as hell. It's actually 2 minutes and 8 seconds, though. So my songs are getting longer.
Yes, finally.
It's only like it's one short recording, though, repeated with what was considered one of the big drum fills of the day. It was Larry Wall just playing a simple drum roll. But you got to remember, this is before Wipeout. So there weren't drum solos on the air. And also the good, it's got the false fade that you're going, oh, okay, it's going to end after. Oh no, they're going to repeat it a third time. A third time, they're going to repeat the exact same thing. All right, cool. I got it. man.
But no, it's a fun song.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Like I said, it's simple as shit. The Gentrys were even the first ones to record it, but they were the first one to get it. And, you know, they ended up on the national TV type things, which is, again, kind of cool being to look back and see a member of my family standing behind a keyboard, mimicking like he's playing on 1960s American television. So,
right.
Yeah, they weren't quite live shows back then. like I said, of course, there were people over there. You gotta remember the Bay City Rollers doing it. It was a few years later. I want to say in the early 70s, but did make it to all the way up to number 4 for a couple weeks.
That's fun.
In 1965, and it stayed. I don't know. It stayed in the top 100 for a couple months. Anyway, they ended up selling 1 million copies. So not bad work.
That's not bad at all.
No. Yeah. So there we go, the Gentrys with Keep on Dancing. Todd, what obscure Northern Ontario truck stop fucking
it's if I do nothing, I educate. If I do nothing. This one I stand by, no question. Again, this is very Canadian. And this has a bit of a bittersweet moment to it, but here it is. This is Blue Peter, Don't Walk Past. We'll be right back. so Blue Peter, I knew, first of all, they are from Toronto. They're a kind of like the first intro, or kind of like part of that first push of Canadian new wave and synth pop that was starting in the early 80s and went through. And Don't Walk Past is one of those songs that if you're in Canada and Toronto, very specifically, if you're at like an 80s night, yeah, and they start, you know, playing the Use, you know, you get your Dancing With Myself by your Billy Idols or your Generation X, depending upon which track cut you're going to get. You get Come On Eileen. But as soon as that that intro guitar and drum riff start, everyone hits the floor and is doing that very kind of stilted New Romantics, wearing a suit, 80s 2-foot shuffle. It's beautiful to watch. And Blue Peter was kind of like that. So they were part of this kind of clutch of bands that were really kind of trying out this musical style in Toronto, and then kind of grew up from that. So this was very much an underground hit. And CFNY, which is now Edge 102 in Toronto, CFNY was known for pushing the boundaries of radio and providing Canadians, or more to the point, Torontonians, because they didn't have satellite radio at that point. But, you know, all of Toronto listened to CFNY 102.1. Spirit of the Radio by Rush is about that radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And so they would get regular airplay on that station. So they were always kind of like in the forefront, always kind of on the leading edge. And it's one of those bands where everyone goes, oh shit, yeah, Blue Peter. They were also kind of like part of Breeding Ground as well. There's a couple of members that kind of slid into that band as well. There's another one hit, Happy Now I Know, which also has a Molly Johnson singing on it.
Interestingly enough here, Chinese Graffiti, guess who sang backup on Chinese Graffiti?
Oh, I know. Could it be Sherry Keane?
It was Sherry Keane.
Yes. You literally looked at my notes. The sad part is Paul Humphrey, who is the lead singer, he just passed away in April. He passed away on April 4th.
I actually remember this video because it was on MTV.
Yeah.
Little known fact, MTV used to
mm-hmm.
play music videos.
You know what? And if you tell the kids that today, they won't believe you.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But then we had it tough. As soon as I thought of One Hit Wonders, this one was like, I was always trying to track down the 12-inch single of it. I finally found it, and I just played it nonstop. It's a lovely little song. The video is so weird and based on apparently Blade Runner.
So, huh. Yeah,
I don't remember that many typewriters. Anyway, if you like guys in suits with synths, this is your stop.
I remember this one as a kid, and it's an enjoyable. So it's got a good beat, and you can dance to it.
Yes, I give it a 60, Dick.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, the nice part is, how short all my songs are, I'm just playing the full length of the track instead of, like, clipping them.
Yeah.
So people just get everything. It doesn't matter. So if you like the shit, now you know how to go look it up.
Exactly. All right.
Blue Peter. I like this.
Let me Google that for you.
Yeah. What one of your dumbass Canadian bands I actually knew.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Next up for me, I'm just going to get the last doo-wop song out of the way. This one goes even back, I think, earlier than Stay, if I'm doing the math right on this. Because this one came out in 1956 or 57, because I lost my notes here. And also reached number four, just like the Gentrys. But this was one on Dot Records, that big, big label, Dot Records. And this is the Del Vikings with Come Go With Me. It's kind of a fun band. This is a song. Look, if you've seen American Graffiti, if you've seen fucking Stand By Me, Diner, what else is this in? Joe Versus the Volcano. You know that. I mean, everybody knows this song. If you've watched any pop culture movie of the past fucking 60 years, you know this song.
Yes.
And the Del Vikings, I mean, this is one of those ones, again, where you got to make the hard decision, because they did have a couple more follow-up tracks. And actually, like, one of the first, I guess, racially mixed musical, you know, outfits of the era. These guys were all Air Force enlistees, all stationed in somewhere outside of Pittsburgh originally, but they were constantly having to replace members. So Come Go With Me, I think it was Clarence Quick, who was like one of the central hubs of this band, wrote it. It was a guy named Norman Wright on the lead vocals, who was not there for any of the other, like Whispering Bells would be the one I think people remember most for their follow-up ones, because that also reached the top 10 in the singles chart and was also in Stand By Me. So, these kinds of tracks, I just fucking, this doo-wop shit where, you know, you got a guy playing a stand-up bass and somebody playing just a simple cocktail set drum part, and then you got five guys singing, right. And it's just fucking great. And yes. Also, this one, you get that awesome late 50s, early 60s, two-note saxophone solo. Kicks ass. Kicks so much ass from start. It's like, can anybody here play a sax? Well, no, but I think I could do this. All right, yeah, you go, yeah. Go ahead.
The only thing better than the two-note saxophone solo is the one-note Ramones guitar solo.
Very, very much the predecessor for that.
Yes.
Oh, man. like I said, this is that shit that, you know, with the oldie stations around here, and even like the local AM radio station when I was a kid still playing this kind of shit, you know, like when you couldn't get the Chicago FM station in to actually listen to it on stereo, you had 1360 WLBK over in DeKalb pumping this shit out all day. And it was just great music, timeless fucking good music. You know, it's the kind of wholesome music that, yeah, all right, they're talking about banging, but they're not explicitly talking about banging, you know. It's the kind of sexy crime music you can listen to in front of the kids.
Right. There's like, I was going through my songs on my iPhone the other day and Lollipop came up.
Yeah.
Like My Boy Lollipop, like that one is like, oh, there's never been a better blowjob song than that one. Like, there's just, that's, you don't do better. It's like, I love how innuendo soaked music from that era is, because they couldn't be overt. So they're like, no. Okay, I'm stuffing my envelopes for you, baby. I'm going to stuff your envelope, you know.
You know, the other last note on this is, of course, the Beach Boys covering it horribly in the late 70s. And this is like, when they were trying to get Brian Wilson back out of the fucking bathtub. So right. they wanted him to do the horn arrangement, which, again, there isn't a horn arrangement. It should just be one saxophone playing two notes. So Wilson shows up to the studio just in a bathrobe and writes a horn arrangement down on a piece of paper and then goes back home.
Beautiful.
Good Beach Boys. Good Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, just as you said, cover version, I immediately thought of another one that could have shown up on this list, was Love Spit Love's cover of How Soon Is Now,
which
showed up in the Kraft soundtrack. And there was that time when, like, oh, you don't touch the Smiths. You don't cover How Soon Is Now. That's sacrosanct. It's like, now it's like, oh, yeah, Morrissey's an asshole. Okay, do what you want.
Yeah.
But you listen to that, and it's like, it's not like Butler didn't have like credentials. Like, he was the lead singer of Psychedelic Furs for years.
Yeah.
Does Love Spit Love. It's a great version.
Yeah.
It's a great version. And that qualifies as one hit wonder. I would throw that out on this list.
Yeah. I think that one makes it. That one makes it. Let's see. Let's go to another listener here. Gavin Reddick, who apologized wholeheartedly for his question on Tuesday's Crow Pod. Gavin, we'll forgive you.
Nah.
But he went with he's got Crazy by Gnarls Barkley.
Well,
The Impression That I Get.
Still.
Yeah.
Hope I Never Lose My Wallet is probably their best song.
Nothing Compares to You. I'm questioning your staunchness here now, Gavin.
Especially when Mandy, I don't know.
I guess she did tear up a picture of a Pope.
Yeah, right? There you go.
She's, you know, fuck it. But Sinead O'Connor. My Sharona by The Knack, who died, you know, it's one of those ones that stayed off my list. See, and to me, like, I think part of the thing with them is because the drummer who came in after they cut that is from Rockford. So I think of a lot more of their music being popular than it actually is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like if you go to Buffalo you get strange looks when you go, who are the Goo Goo Dolls?
Yeah. And of course, he's got one of the staple 90s tracks here with Blind Melon's No Rain, which, of course, kept off the montage. See, now, the only reason that song got as popular as it did is because it came out in 1994, which is when they tried to redo Woodstock.
Right.
And that song, like, fit this little clique in people of my generation, or maybe just slightly older, you know, like in your group's head of what Woodstock was, when really it was just a guy with a fucking heroin problem. great track. But I never really saw anything else that Blind Melon did that I was like, we missed something. So let's go back, Todd.
All right.
We each got two left, I do believe.
Yes. I actually have a number one hit.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
He's done it right.
Yes. I have a number one hit. Asterisk.
In Iceland.
No, in Canada. This song hit number one in Canada. I think I don't even think in Holland, where they're from, it charted at number one. But here we are. This is Diesel with Sausalito Summer Night.
You left for Frisco in your ass.
hits so many things for me, and amongst the top of it is of the list is the amount of misunderstanding I had about this song and this band when I was a kid. Okay, this it hit number one in the Canadian charts because Small Town Ontario loves themselves a nice little guitar riff, yep. And this has that. It has that beautiful hook off the top. Stays throughout the entire song. Got some nice harmonics in the vocals. Talking about, you know, hanging out with your car, getting burgers, you know, watching girls, and you know, and it's in this really mystical sounding California town called Sausalito. You're thinking it's like, oh, this is like Beach Boys adjacent, and these guys are from California. Like, oh, we're listening to, you know, U.S. popular music. Like, this is what I'm going through my head. And like when it's in 1980, when I heard this song, I was like, oh my God, this is so mystical. And these guys are so cool. They're American. First of all, they're Dutch. And they're singing about Sausalito, which if you've never been, I have been. It's just on the other side of the bridge from San Francisco. Huge, massive town, population 7,000. like 2,000 more than the small town I grew up in.
Yeah.
And they're singing about this place.
Actually, 2,000 less than the small town I grew up in.
Yeah, right? And so, like, there was so much mysticism built into this song when I was a kid. And I didn't realize the band was Dutch. I didn't realize that Sausalito was just a small town like the one I was sitting in. I will say this, though. My wife and I did eventually go to Sausalito when we were in San Francisco. Best tacos I've ever had in my life. Never no. shows up in the song. Best tacos I've ever had in my life. By the way, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Spend money at a Mexican bar, please.
Yes.
Give them your money.
I have filled the fridge with Tecate. I am ready for tonight.
I've got tamales. We're good.
Yeah. There's definitely. Do you still? Okay.
Just a couple.
Yeah. So like, it's just it's got so much like guitar raunchiness to it. The melody is great. There have been people that say it kind of sounds like Steve Miller, and I get that.
See, that was so because this is another one. It did chart here, and I hadn't heard it in forever.
Right.
And I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, this song. I was like, shit, that all right, that's got some Steve Miller thing to it. And then of course I went and looked it up, and it's like often cited as a Steve Miller ripoff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, there is a moment, and I think I can't remember the Steve Miller song, but like I'll hear it play on the radio, and go, oh, they're playing these. No. Okay. Yeah. it's like when you think they're playing The Clash and it's garbage. It's kind of like that. But like, yeah, like I had no idea that it was as popular. Like I knew I liked it. I didn't realize that all of Canada liked it as well. And it was just kind of like, oh, that's cool. Like we helped out some Dutch people. That's pretty sweet.
It's like World War II all over again.
Exactly. Hi, give us your tulips. We'll take your music too.
Yeah, I can't. I think I remember that. I think my brother had this.
Sure.
I don't know if he had the 45 or if he had the actual LP that it was on. But yeah, I did. It was one that. Oh yeah, yeah. So see, all right, you did okay. I mean, it made it all the way to the top 25 in the U.S. So,
yes.
Which yeah, that basically makes you the best selling record of all time in Canada. So.
Sure. Yes. If they ever come over again, they'll get a parade.
Oh God. I was trying to, God damn it. I thought they had another song I knew, but maybe not. Yeah. I'm done scrolling now.
Yeah. Trust me. I was looking up. I was like, ooh, is there anything else by Diesel? And literally the internet went, nothing you need to know about.
No,
like,
okay. Yeah, no. All right. Just keep moving, son.
Yeah. Yep. You got your one. Don't worry about it.
Well, I guess I'll go with the track. Sounds like it's not a band from where it's from, and to me, the 90s was another good era of one hit wonders. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, let's be honest here. I think I know you still got one to come,
mm-hmm.
but you had what? You had Aqua with Barbie Girl, right?
Yep.
Of course, the verb pipe with Freshmen. I had OMC's How Bizarre in the thing at the beginning. Meredith Brooks singing about a bitch.
Yeah.
What else? Hanson, Four Non-Blondes. I can't even think. I mean, it was a good time for one-hit wonders when we were younger.
Do you remember the band Ruby?
Yes.
With the song called Tiny Meat.
It sounds yes.
that is another great one-hit wonder. Scottish front singer, okay. as I recall. I saw them at Lee's Palace, and the only reason I went and saw them is like, oh, I like that song. Guess what? That's their song.
Yeah.
And but it got me. Side note: it got me into this band called Stum.
Mm-hmm.
From Ireland, who had one album in them. Ladies and gentlemen, look them up. That is a fun. It's a slightly more happier version of Therapy.
Oh no, I used to be able to smoke at my therapist. Just slightly,
not much more. But it doesn't take much to go up from Therapy. So
yeah,
give it Stum is. So great. I was happy to sit through a lot of dross listening for Tiny Meat to finally be played. And knowing like Stum was just, they stole the show for me. And it's like, it's one of those moments. I'm sure you've had this where you go, you show up and a band's playing and you hear the first song, you go, okay. And you hear the second song, you go, all right. And then their third song, you're like, where's the merch table? And that was them. I think they only had one album in them and it's just so great. So.
And you bought every copy.
I bought it. You know where I finally bought it? Because I couldn't find it in Canada. You know where I had to buy it?
Right.
Used record store in Chicago, baby.
Perfect.
Yeah.
See? Which one?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Man, God damn it. Useless. But so I was sitting here. I had to pick one from my lifetime anyway.
Yes.
And of course, yeah, again, I mean, you could, like, the Macarena. It's Skilo, with I Wish, which was fucking just fantastic again in that mid 90s, but I went for the one, to me, absolutely the best single one hit wonder of my life. You got a Swedish rock band doing that thing where nobody knows that they're Swedish. This, of course, coming out the back of Ace of Base, coming off the 20 year absence of ABBA.
Yes. Love and now apparently are somewhat problematic.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess if you're bred to be Aryan master race, but but Love Fool by the Cardigans.
Gorgeous.
Made famous, of course, by the god-awful Romeo and Juliet of 1996.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could not get away from this song.
No.
At all.
No.
And also, I mean, to be honest, with the way Nina Persson looked at the time, I didn't really want to get away from this song as a 12-year-old boy.
Right,
I mean,
it was
the hook was great. I mean, the simplest fucking bass line that you could ever come up with. Just her fantastic. I mean, her vocals are everything that you want in a Swedish pop. You know,
yes,
that's right. I mean, they're just these ringing, chiming vocals that she layers her own harmonies, and you're like, God damn, that's just, oh, okay. And just, you know, the sad love song laid on top of a really poppy, it's got to be like 110 or 112 beats a minute. Just everything you want. It's that 1-4-2-5. It's in A major. It's just, oh, God, it's great. It's so good. It's so good. And I'm trying to say, now, hold on. I got to go check my chart position now after I've chewed all over you. UK 21. Where the hell's the US? Oh, number two.
Number two.
Oh, no, mainstream top 40, number one.
Ha! Number one. There you go. There you go. Attaboy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, if we were going by chart position, you'd blow me out of the water. Like, this is old firm smacking. You know, you've got a Rebo running up the side. And I'm thinking
I just brought Jermaine Defoe on, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at this as Sherry King going, are you my Lee Griffiths? Like, what's going on? Couple of points about this song. I think my favorite rendition was done in The Office.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Where it drives Rashida Jones completely nuts. That's a great scene. And by the way, that gets stuck in your head. I'm going to say to you, as great as that song is, that's not even my favorite Cardigan song.
See, that's the hard part. Because I got a weird thing with Swedish, like, especially the post-punk era Swedish shit. Like, Mando Dio is one of my favorite bands, you know? So, yeah, I've got a couple Cardigans albums.
Yeah.
but this is the one that counts for what we're doing here.
No, I get it. But I wouldn't qualify. Here's my thing. The only reason I would throw a little bit of shade at this is that, and I can't really stand on because I think it's a better song, but it didn't chart My Favorite Game.
Okay.
Yeah. My Favorite Game, I think, is not just one of their best songs. I think it's one of the best songs.
Yeah.
It's and the video for it is just staggeringly great.
Yeah.
Just so fun.
Well, you know, I'll tell people, dude, this is one of those ones that, like, you see the band do it and, you know, you're not aware of them. You don't own their albums like we do. Go watch them perform this live because it's every bit as good as the original studio version, and like, even all the way through it, you know, I'm pretty sure the Cardigans are still together, actually, still performing it, still great.
Like, yeah,
it's very, very good.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now that you ripped the piss out of my song for exactly
this. Oh, no. Just say.
See, I wouldn't count it. So go ahead and tell me what your last one. Actually, you know what? Hold on. Let's get one last listener out of the way here.
Sure. Let's
pick one out. Let me go pick one now. Who'd we get? Scotia 80. It's got Len with "Steal My Sunshine." That one will get stuck in your head.
Thank you.
I'm all right with that. That's up there with what the hell is the one? New Radicals.
Get What You Get.
Yeah. Same thing. Interesting
side note about that band. My ex-wife loved that song, "You Get What You Give." And we went to the record store one day and we each bought albums and she got the New Radicals. We gave it a listen and it got to that, and I believe it was the lead track. And it's like, okay, this is good. Then we listened to the rest of the album and I could just see the love for this outfit just drain out of her. Kind of like the way she looked at me by the end of our marriage. And I turned to her and went, "How are the New Radicals now?" "Shut up." And it's probably comments like that on as to why we're not together still.
I'd do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. He's also got Blind Melon, "No Rain," which made it onto a few lists. I got Rochford with "Cuddly Toy," The Breeders with "Cannonball," and McCalmont and Butler with "Yes."
Mm-hmm.
And fuck it, we'll go ahead. I'll get one more here. We got Ian Murray chiming in. He's got John Farnham with "You're the Voice."
Okay.
Delunese with "Got Five on It." Cracker with "Low."
Oh yeah.
I know. All right.
See, they had more than one single in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do that because they had more than one. So I couldn't put that.
Keep that in mind with your next song. He's got Warren G with "Regulate," and of course "Mental as Anything" with "Live It Up."
Yeah.
So okay. Todd, what's your last band that definitely only had one song?
I don't qualify the other. Okay, literally there's two others. And it's like when I say this band's name, you don't go "Little Miss Can't Be Wrong." No one says that. No one says "Pocket Full of Fucking Kryptonite." Are they those guys? No. Spin Doctors, "Here It Is to Print." and again, you fall into this trap of like, well, what about all the other songs? Like, again, on someone else's list, Devo is going to be there, and I will just go and piss on their house in the night, you know, because I know in my heart they have more than one. Peekaboo is what I will say. What's not to like about the song? Like, as I was going through
I love Two Princes. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. By the way, just so the listener knows, a little bit of inside baseball, kind of behind the scenes. This is what you get on the DVD extras. Shane went, well, you took my Two Princes. Like, ha! It was going to be on the list anyway. So I'll take it. And then you can say, well, what about these singles? They don't count. Yeah. But this one does. I mean, like, this one hit number one U.S. Billboard top 40. U.S. mainstream rock, number two. Adult contemporary, it snuck its way onto that one, number 24. I'm a U.S. cash box, number three. U.K. singles, number three. Sweden, and this is what I love when you see how the other countries pronounce their top charts. Yep. This is the Sverige Toppenstan. It would hit number one, whatever number one is. In Iceland, it was number one, which is the Icelandski Listen Top 40, top with two P's.
Yeah.
Canada hit number two. I would love to know what number one was. Oh, it's probably Sherry Keane. Denmark, number two. Australia, number three. Like, it just, it hit top 10 in, like, almost every country it hit.
Yeah.
Right? And as I was, my problem with this and why I had to include it is while I was trying to think of a fifth one, because when I was putting this list together, I'm like, I'm going to go, I had some rules when I was sculpting this list, which was, I don't mind going a little bit Canadian heavy just because, you know, hey, I'm here to educate. I wanted the songs that I listen to regularly, and not one of the songs I've listed today, I don't listen to regularly.
Right.
And as I was trying to think of a fifth, I kept getting the lyrics of Two Princes jammed in my head. So I went, fuck it. Fine. Here you go. Two Princes, you happy? You happy, Two Princes?
Yeah. So I do love this song, but the thing that got me, because I think on the Hot 100, which is what I was looking at, I know it didn't make number one on the rock chart. On the Hot 100, it peaked at 7. Lil Miss Can't Be Wrong made it to 17. So they're only 10 spots apart. And also, right. Lil Miss Can't Be Wrong has the amazing fucking story that Chris Barron finally told on Twitter like a couple years ago about how his stepmom kept telling him he'd be nothing but a janitor. So he wrote a song about her called Lil Miss Can't Be Wrong, and it's been played on the radio 3 million times.
Right, like, right, right.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
No, Two Princes. See, like you said, I went for songs that I don't give a fuck what I'm doing. If they come on, I'm going to turn it up, right? Because the whole point of this exercise is me and Todd are stuck dying on a desert island and want to be happy for a little while, right? That's what we're here to do with all of this.
Yes.
And that was why, like, Two Princes jumped in there almost immediately. But then I kind of took it. I before I saw you had it, I was already wavering on it because of Little Miss.
Right.
Then you made it easy, and then I knew I could just come back and do what I'm doing right now and telling you that you're a fucking idiot for picking.
Can I also just say, like, in looking at this, I was doing, because I don't know from Spin Doctors, right? Like, yeah. I just go, oh yeah, Two Princes, cool. Yeah. They're from New York City, so the same city that spawned the Talking Heads and Interpol gave us Two Princes. Okay.
I mean, it is, you know, fairly large.
I get it.
I guess.
Yes.
Although, well, no, hold on. Isn't, wasn't their guitarist a Canadian? Didn't you have was it Eric Shankman or something? Pretty sure he's Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was there, like, when the band, because John Popper was part of the original, I don't think they were called the Spin Doctors then, but he was part of the original lineup.
Right.
Yeah. Only playing harmonica back then.
Yes.
Being very fat and playing harmonica.
Yes.
They were another one I looked at too, the same as we should do a two hit wonders.
Yes. And that would be there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Last one. Let's get this out of the way. I came back home. I came back to Chicago to a band. I mean, this is very, very, very much a one-hit wonder band. They did fuck all else besides this. Made it to number two in the U.S., top five in Canada.
Okay.
See, now we know it's a real track.
Yes, exactly. and by the way, it would not surprise me if the band is Canadian, because that's totally how it works.
The lead singer, Jim Petterick, does have kind of a Canadian name. And also, it did chart in the UK, I want to say somewhere around top 30. I'm not exactly sure, but the band The Eyes of March, formed out of a group of high school students in beautiful Berwyn, Illinois, which a lot of people might know is like one of the settings for John Carpenter, right? This is like one of the towns they bases what the fuck's the made up town all of his movies are in. But anyway, from 1970, we got The Eyes of March with a Vehicle.
Hey, well, I'm a friendly stranger in the black sedan. Oh, won't you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby. I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman. By now I'm sure you know that I love you, have you, need you, vehicle. I want you, got you, have you tried? Great God in heaven, you know I love.
Love this goddamn song so fucking, but like, I karaoke this shit. I fucking, if it comes on the radio, I will destroy my neighbor's windows. This song is fucking amazing. I mean, the horn arrangement and everything. And again, Jim Petterick, who's the lead singer on here, he was 19 when they cut this, which is like what's his name in the Spencer Davis Group being only 15 when they did Give Me Some Lovin'. You know, like, he sounds like it's like if you took someone built like me, right? Like mid to late 30s, beard, kind of overweight, cigarette hanging out of his mouth. That's what sounds like is singing this song. Not a 19-year-old kid who just graduated from Berwyn fucking high school, you know, yes. in the suburbs of Chicago. It came out. I can't even think. It hit like the second this fucking thing dropped, which part of that was, again, being on the CBS record label and being in Chicago, it was getting radio play on like WLS, which at the time you could listen to WLS pretty much anywhere but California, right?
Right.
The 50,000 watt powerhouse of WLS broadcasting all across the country. And I think what Warner Brothers, who handled the distribution for CBS, it was supposedly their fastest selling single ever by a pretty quick distance. Like, this thing hit and it just fucking was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then they never did anything ever again. That was it.
But the road is paved with those people, right? Yeah. And speaking of paving, can I just say, we've gone through 10 songs now. Can I just say that this one opens the most creepy?
Well, so
I'm a friendly stranger in a black sedan.
What happens at my car? Pictures.
I got pictures. Candy. Got candy.
He's a lovable man. Can take it to the
Here's your
star.
Cute kid. Like, roll it. This is a soundtrack for the Stranger Danger video.
Well, I like, he wrote it. You know, this is right when he first had the anti-drug phase coming in the American schools. I don't know what it was like in Canada or the UK. I remember like DARE in the 80s after Nancy Reagan decided that drugs were the biggest evil. But even back then, I mean, this is coming out the back of the 60s, right? They don't like the idea of kids smoking the reefer. Let alone all the other shit that was coming out of the market. So all those bits are references to that. And he's dating some girl. He had, according to him, he had a Plymouth Valiant, a really big fucking done up. I mean, Plymouth Valiant, gorgeous car. If you don't remember, go look it up. And he thought that this was going to do it. No, it didn't work for her. But what it did do was give him this fucking song, and right away CBS had it out in the fucking market. So it's actually funny too, because like then he makes it. They kind of go on again, off again, apparently for a while, and they end up getting married. So it worked. There's another note on this song too, which I think this is the only one from my early shit that has like an actual guitar solo in it, which I think for one hit wonders wasn't really a thing to come along until the mid 70s. I mean, with the exception of like In a Guy of the Vita, but if you're actually going to count that, don't fucking talk to me.
Right.
They lost a big chunk of the guitar solo in this, which comes from the second Great God in Heaven, You Know I Love You, that part. And then, like, how the guitar solo randomly drops in, it's because it was supposed to start right there. And they just lost it on the master tape and decided to leave it there.
That's my favorite bit of trivia since you can hear the F word in Louie Louie. And what it is, it's the drummer losing his drumstick.
Yep.
So that everyone was worried about the lyrics of the song, and it's just a sea shanty. Meanwhile, the drummer yells, "Fuck!" And you can hear it. It's like, it's beautiful.
Well, there was a something I didn't mention, too, going back to the Dell Vikings. If you're all bored, idiot like me who sits around with headphones on, it's got one of my favorite tropes in music, which is the squeaky bass drum pedal that you can hear the whole time. Yeah. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't exist anymore. With digital, they don't leave that kind of crap in.
No, and it reminds me, first of all, I just want to say Louie Louie by the Kingsmen should have been on our list.
There's a lot of songs that should have been on our
list. There's no question that should have been on our list. You know what, Sherry Keene, take a leg. Yeah, all right,
you're
put on the heel and toe. We're bringing in the Kingsmen.
Good bitch.
And hey, she's a tour guide. Some respect. I don't know if it's true or not, because I get all of my information about Factory Records from 24-hour party people. Right. Setting up The Joy Division drummer on the roof is one of the best things, I think. If it didn't happen, I want it to have happened, and I'm just going to imagine that it happened. So,
let's see, more shout-outs here for, let's see, we forgot Rick Dees with Disco Duck. We didn't get Ray Stevens.
The Streak.
With the Streak. Sorry, yeah. David. I don't know. See, there were a bunch of, you know, like Sugar Hill Gang, I wanted to drop in, but it had to feel like a one-hit wonder, like at its soul.
Yeah.
You know, like Free with All Right Now, technically a one-hit wonder, but come on, Paul Rogers went on to have a huge fucking career, right? That's not the same thing.
And one of the ones that I was thinking of, and I was just like, do I pull the trigger on this? Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby's Got Back.
Yeah.
It's just every time it comes on, you can't not smile.
Well, no, it's like tag team, right?
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, there's so many, but it had the, to me, the true one hit wonder era was the 60s, you know, in that phase, which is why, pretty much everything on my fucking list. I'll do it. I will, unlike with the albums, because that was kind of a pain in the ass, I'll try to post up links in the comments. Or, fuck it. I mean, I'm going to play the whole song. So you guys get a shit ton of music in between me and Todd talking.
Yeah.
And anything we forgot, you can go ahead and tell us, because I'm sure that there's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands.
There's a hole with no bottom. Jesus.
Oh, God. I didn't even start touching. We could have done like 35, and I would still be like, shit, I got to leave that one off.
Right.
Fuck, like, where do I fit Afternoon Delight in here? Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Yeah. And then, you know, I was also thinking, it's like, how do I shoehorn the bands that I like into here? It's like, yeah. Did Skinny Puppy have one? Did they? Which Cabaret Voltaire do I pick? And do I ignore the other ones? And
I gotta get Vicki Lawrence in here. This is all. God damn it. Oh, man. No, it's tough to, because once you start expanding it, then you start thinking about, like, okay, now I can get Nick Lowe in here. Even though I don't consider Nick Lowe a one-hit wonder, but now I can. You know, keep it to five. Make it hard. Make it hard. And don't put Carl Douglas on your fucking list. I'll tell you
that one right or now. Joe Dolce. shut up, your face.
All right, so we've got a list of shows that we're going to do. Maybe we'll just put, like, four of the ideas out on a poll and let the users pick the next one. I think that'd be a nice way of soliciting a little bit more feedback from everybody. So, hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll come back with another one of these in a couple weeks. And, of course, we'll be back with a CrowPod on Tuesday. So until then, Todd. Of course, you can find all his stuff on heyitstva.com and find him on Twitter at heyitstva. What you got coming up?
Just finalizing the next lineup for Write 'Em Up, which is the online show I host at Five Comics. Come to your screen. They do bits all the while. I've got a team of writers writing roast jokes about everything that comic does. And then I read out the roast jokes verbatim. It's the funnest show on the globe. And that is coming up the third Friday in May, whatever that is. See you then.
Except right after, that'd be right after the week after title.
Yes. Day. Yes.
So by the time everybody's woken up, yeah.
Yes. I'll be wearing my bucket hat.
So just be fused to your head by then.
Yeah, exactly. My wife will be like, it smells, take it off. Well, how else do I shower, sweetheart? Yeah,
God. Yeah. All right, so yeah, like I said, find everything with Todd at heyitstva.com. Of course, I'm always on Twitter, Avoid. And like I said, we'll be back with the CrowPod Tuesday. That one comes free. This one, tell your friends to at least sign up for the £2 whatever heart and hand subscription, because that's the only way you can listen to us talk about this kind of shit.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. The sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
Such a fine girl. Say, she hears him say, Brandy, you're a fine girl.